Just before I do the church family prayer, I just want to introduce myself. I'm Pastor Christine, for anybody that doesn't know. And I just wanted to say to each of you, God's just laid it on my heart this morning, how important prayer is. And I look out here and I see each of you, whether you consider it or not, you're part of our family as staff here at the church. And we really want each of you to feel like part of the family, and we want you to know that you don't have to bear your burdens alone. And so I would just encourage each of you that if during the week you have something that's really bothering you or laying heavy on your heart, you can feel free to call the office, and we will pray for you. If you want it on the prayer chain, we can put it on the prayer chain and have several people in the church pray about it, or it can remain confidential between the pastoral staff. So I just want to encourage that for each of you, to let you know that we are here and that we are part of the family and that we can share things together. And yeah, and if you have a request and you want to be put on the back of the bulletin so that somebody can pray for you during the week and can look at it and say, oh yeah, this is what's going on with that person, just let us know, phone Kate, and she'll put you on the back. And now we'll just come to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I just lift up each person here this morning, and I just pray for each heart, Lord, and each body and each spirit, God, as some have very big burdens to carry this morning, some we may know and some we may not. And I just pray that this morning would be a blessing, Lord, that each person would leave filled and knowing that you love them, Lord, and that we as a family love them. And God, I just pray for those that have health needs right now. I pray for Rose and for Nella, Lord, and for George and Inga and Ken, and Lord, Gary and Marie and Hertha and Lori and Gladys. Lord, some of these people have been sick for quite some time, Lord, and they're feeling discouraged and feeling defeated. And God, I just pray that you would give them your touch this morning, that you would just give them the strength to go on, Lord, and give them that extra courage to face the day and face whatever they're facing, Lord. And I just pray that if your will is, your hand of healing would be on them as well, Lord. And Father, I just give you each of those people. And Lord, I pray for Christopher as well this week as he goes for ear surgery, and I just pray that you would bless him and guide the surgeons there, Father, and just carry him through that. And Lord, I pray for those that can't be with us, those that are shut in, for Mary Hafner and Annette Kreider and Elizabeth Neal and Mary Warkentine and Sophie Zielinski. It can feel very alone and very isolating when you can't come out, and I just pray that you would touch them this morning. And Lord, I pray for those that are grieving, for the Pease family at the loss of Reed's brother. And Father, I pray for those that are not able to be with us because of life circumstances as well, for Vince and Herman and Peter. And Lord, we also rejoice this morning with Stacy and Tyler at the birth of Avery, Lord, and I thank you that she arrived safely. And Lord, I just thank you for her. And God, I just pray that you would bless the service this morning and just let your presence be here and let us each go out of the here feeling touched by you. And I ask this in your name. Amen.
It's a great privilege for us to have with us Alan Vincent. He's with Slavic Gospel Association. I remember hearing about Slavic Gospel Association as a little guy like this, and how they were reaching out into Russia, and we're glad to have him represent us, represent the mission to us. They work in Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, Kazakhstan, and the other stands in that area, and I'm excited to read how they do it. They have more than 500 national missionaries. That is exciting, that they have national missionaries, and they're ministering there, and they also have seminary, seminaries and Bible colleges and so on to train the pastors. And that mission has been going on a long time, and we are so grateful that Alan has been able to come here to minister to us. And we welcome him, and he has a wife, Lynn, and three adult sons and five grandchildren that lovingly support the ministry. Please, Reverend Vincent.
On now? Okay. It's awkward when you get to the age when you have to take your glasses off to see something close up, but you're never quite sure where you saw it anyway, and until you open your mouth, you don't know whether you've done the right thing, and obviously I hadn't. I need to publicly thank your pastor who's away for helping this to happen. He is most supportive. I normally plan a long ways in advance, and I had some things that fell through with toward the end of this month, but this happened sort of prior to the summer, and I called as well a gentleman who's been an encouragement to me, Delbert Dina, and said, people have been saying come back to Saskatchewan and spend some more time here, and so I'm knocking on some doors, and these gentlemen helped, and so to make a long story short, I'm here this morning. Tonight I'm in a seniors meeting in Hepburn. I'm meeting with some pastors tomorrow after speaking at Northern Canada Evangelical Mission in the morning. I drive down to Regina and meet with some folks there and meet with some pastors tomorrow. Tuesday, I'm at a meeting in Watrous. Tomorrow on Tuesday night, I'm in Saskatoon. That's Wednesday. Thursday, I'm in Maidstone. Friday and Saturday, I'm in closed meetings with a church in Edmonton. And then I'm back out a bit west to Elk Point and then to Irma. And I get on the plane again and head back, and I'm around for the week for the office for about a week, tying up some loose ends, and I'm for meetings, for succession of meetings west of Chicago for about 10 days. And then the last half of the month, I'm basically one night in each church in Atlantic Canada. It doesn't always happen that way, but it's neat the way the Lord brings things together. I wish I could explain everything this morning and how I've seen it dovetail. We prayed as I walked in this morning. The adult class was praying for somebody who was involved in ministry in prison. Our October Insight deals with ministry that our pastors are involved with prison, so you might pick that up. November Insight deals with ministries in orphanages. And if what you find here touches your heart and you'd like to be on our mailing list, there's no charge. We're not looking just to blanket the area. We want people who would join with us prayerfully. And as well, you'll find some various other things in our table out there that Ed helped me put together. I was a bit short of time. As well, you'll find Harvest Partners, something we're asking God to raise up some partners that would come with us month by month and pray for us in these things. I want, though, most of all, to be able this morning to bring your greetings from your brothers and sisters in the former Soviet Union. We minister from the border of eastern border of Poland to the Pacific, from the Arctic down to those stands, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan. And what believers are facing in there is not a pleasant situation. It's not pleasant in many other areas. Even about 3 hours drive east of Moscow in the region of Ivanova, believers had gained permission. They were showing the Jesus film. They were giving out New Testaments provided by the Gideons. And all those believers that were involved were arrested. Because all that we can gather is that Gideon's New Testament did not have the Russian counterpart, the International Bible number in it. And again, with everything that's taken place, things are tight. So I bring you their greetings. And it's interesting, when I do that in reverse when I'm there, the believers all begin to mumble back to me in Russian. Because for 70 years, they never knew what was taking place on this side of the ocean. It was a closed world. They didn't know if we'd forgotten about them. Were we praying for them? What was happening? In those days from 1934 through to Perestroika, one of the major ministries of Slavic Gospel Association was that of providing materials that other people smuggled. We just felt there needed to be that separation. As well, we provided broadcasts. We had broadcasters working with HCJB and others from Quito, Ecuador, We had the Russian radio voice of J. Vernon McGee. We had several other broadcasts that we used to encourage these folks and corresponded with them. When the walls came down, we said to these believers, what can we do now to serve you? And I think back, this is prior to my time of involvement. I've been doing this for almost 9 years now. It's always neat when you're serving people if you say, how can we serve you? All too often, we don't. They said to us, help us with three things. Help us to train national pastors and church leaders in country. When they come to the West, they stay. Help us to have the prayer and financial support we need to start new churches. It's not a question of can it be done and are people willing. The resources are the biggest problem. And I thank you for what you've done already to help me. And thirdly, help us with the equipping. Means to go into these prisons, means to go into the orphanages. Everything that we present to you is not that which Slavic Gospel Association has set up and say, wouldn't this be a neat thing to do? Behind each of them, even something a Christian evangelism means called Emmanuel's Child. These have come from local believers saying, God's opening the door, can you help us to proceed through that door? And so I share that with you. But I want to spend my primary time here this morning in God's Word. If you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. Believers in the former Soviet Union, when they read God's Word, they, as you do, believe it is God's Word. And when God speaks to us and we're in His presence, they always stand as God's Word is read. Would you do that with me? Let's stand as we read from Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17, I'm beginning to read at verse 8. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. Then Moses, Aaron, and Ur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Ur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till the sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with a sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it. Because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. He said, for hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. Father, with your word open before us, we pray that in a similar way our hearts would be open to you. You've promised your word will not return void, and we pray that today you would accomplish in our hearts through it that which you want to do. In spite of these lips, in spite of the things that might crowd into our minds, we ask this as we focus our hearts on you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Won't you be seated? One of the things that Pastor Jeremy said was that sometimes we come and we're really elated about things, but if we're honest, sometimes things aren't always so good. Somehow we have to think that we always have to say, yeah, things are great. But under our breath say, but if you know what yesterday was like, it wasn't so good. None of us choose the situations into which we find ourselves. None of us choose the parents to whom we're born. None of us choose where we're born and when we're born. None of us choose our economic circumstances. None of us choose the color of our hair. None of us choose our IQ. None of us choose a variety of things we face. And sometimes, in the situations we have not chosen, we will find circumstances in these next days that we did not choose. Sometimes, some of you will turn up to work, and you will find that you are no longer needed. Some of you will have at that doctor's appointment, the doctor will say, we need to sit down and talk next week. And you spend a sleepless week wondering what he will say. For some of you, it'll just be, he'll say, you're getting older. The fact you can't hear, getting older. The fact this doesn't work so well, getting older. The fact you don't hear your wife, blessing. Well, I've milked that for all it's worth. Sorry, dear, just getting older. Although we cannot choose our situations, we can choose how we respond in those situations. And it's how we choose to respond in those situations that make a tremendous difference. The Israelites in the previous chapters here, after coming into the Promised Land, had seen God intervene in a variety of ways. After the Red Sea, after a variety of things, in chapter 16, God had provided food. They had come from the lush gardens of Egypt where they had everything you would want and more, and all of a sudden now it's on a day-to-day basis. Maybe we need to learn to live more on a day-to-day basis rather than what we've stored up and what's in the bank. So God said, I can provide food day by day, the manna and the quail, which he did. Chapter 17 begins with, all of a sudden now, what are we going to drink with this food? And God says, I can provide water, and he did. But by the time you come to chapter 17, verse 8, there was a choice that they didn't even think about was happening. All of a sudden, the Amalekites are going to attack them, and you need to understand, historically, the Amalekites descend from the grandson of Esau. So what goes around comes around. So Joshua and Moses couldn't say, are we going to fight them? Not fight them. You know, pull the pebbles off the daisy to fight, not to fight. Fight, not to fight. No, there's no choice. Because regardless of what they do, they've got to face the situation. And sometimes I think in the spiritual realm, we've got the idea that we can just hunker down and pray and we don't have to face situations. Now, sometimes it's hard to make decisions, but ultimately you've got to make the choices that face these situations. Gregory Berg's family did not decide or know what they were getting into when generations before they accepted the invitation of Catherine the Great to leave Germany and farm in Ukraine. They left a prosperous background, that is, his predecessors, and they settled in that Dnieper River Valley, and they were doing very well. They were part of that original impact for the gospel that shared with this Orthodox background, and many came to faith in Christ. They weren't part of the decision when the people around Catherine the Great said, these people are changing our country, and many of them again moved into Siberia. The branch of Gregory Berg's family were moved into Kazakhstan. And there they existed, many of them in these communities, just speaking the German language, but of course having to learn the Russian language, because once they were there, there was no sort of, I think we'll go back and visit Germany again. This was a one-way road. When Gregory was to the age of all men in his era and 18 years of age, he had to do the required 2 years of military training in the Russian army. No questions asked, he did it. Because he's already a believer, he is put in one of the more difficult places to serve, hoping it will squelch his faith. He was placed in Murmansk, Russia. Murmansk is 300 kilometers north of the Arctic Circle. You may say, I've heard of Murmansk. Yes, you heard of Murmansk because that's adjacent to where the Kursk submarine sank. The Kursk submarine was there and sank because that's the tail end of the Gulf Stream, and that's how they want their submarines to get out, because otherwise it's the Pacific Coast or the Baltics, and they don't want people to detect their submarines circulating around the world. Gregory Berg was set up there to serve, and he came in contact with a local group of believers that was once strong, another story, but by the time he's there, it's weak. And they said, after he spent his 2 years of military training, why don't you be our pastor? He said, I have no training. They said, no, there's anybody else. So Gregory stays in Murmansk to be their pastor while his mother and father, whose health is declining, are in Kazakhstan. Parenthesis, when perestroika came, his mom and dad moved back to eastern Germany while other family members moved to Kitchener, Ontario. Gregory continues to serve in Murmansk, Russia as a regional pastor, discipling other younger men. He has never had one seminary course. Does he want them? Yes. Does he have time and means? Not to get that combination. We're hoping that that will eventually be a regional area where we can put resources in. He didn't make that choice, but he serves faithfully. And Joshua here made the decision that he would fight this battle. Moses made the decision that he would lift up his hands. Have you ever tried to lift up your hands and hold them up for a whole day? Not easy. So Moses is doing this, and his hands are getting tired. And there's just other two fellows up there, Aaron and Ur. And it says very quickly in Scripture, they moved a stone. How many of you have ever moved a stone big enough for a man to sit on? Not easy. They had no bobcat, no horses, no front-end loader, but they got this rock over in a place for Moses to sit on it, and then they stood behind him, and now they're holding his hands up at the right level because they noticed that it isn't just the choices we make, it's the connections between the choices that each of us makes. Because as Moses' hands came down, okay, things aren't going so well. His hands came up, things are going better. So they didn't have a university degree, but they said, oh, 2 and 2 does equal 4. Hands up, good. Hands bad, down. We laugh. But, we're not that smart at times. Thank you for leading us in prayer this morning, folks. Interesting aside that I want to deal with maybe at Northern Canada Evangelical Mission tomorrow morning, a bit of a looking down the road. I think we've lost the important connection between the Word and prayer and what God does. When we lose that connection, we sort of scratch our heads and say, what do we need to do? Well, maybe he's already shown us what to do. So they made this, they suddenly realized the connection. And you can go down those spiritual rabbit trails, but I don't want to give an example. I travel more times than I should, and my wife gently reminds me of that, but I'm sort of a bit of a fellow when God opens a door, and God has allowed me to do this now after 25 years of pastoral ministry. I see it a chance to just do what I've always sensed, and God tends to provide contacts that multiply. But I was on the midst of one trip, and it was a long enough trip I decided not to park and fly, and I was taking a shuttle, and about an hour before I was to leave, the phone rang. And there was a gentleman, he said, God has laid on my heart, I need to give you some money. Now, I know that most people want receipts, and I think that's great because it multiplies our income to have more income to use for the Lord. And I said, well, it's kind of tight now to get it through the books. He said, I don't care. This is so on my heart, I want you to have it. And because you don't know the person or the situation, I can tell you it was $500 US. Nice gift. But he said, I'm not sure if I can get it to you. I said, I'm not sure if you can either, because he was in the other part of Kitchener-Waterloo, and he had to go to the bank, exchange his Canadian cash to US cash, they don't want US, they don't want Canadian cash in Russia. I don't know why, but they don't. So he's doing all this, and the shuttle's pulling out of the driveway when there's this car coming down the street with the lights flashing. So he heads me off, gives me the money, and I said, what do you want this used for? He said, you wait until you see what God wants it used for. Ooh, interesting. So we're in eastern Siberia in the region called Krasnoyarsk, which means beautiful red. And my wife and I are meeting with about 6 pastors and wives, and they're sharing what God's doing and a whole bunch of stories, good stuff that I can't go into now. And I said to them, now, tell me some things I can take back to those churches in Canada that are supporting you so they can pray more specifically. When we don't have time, yes, we pray, Lord, bless them. But if we can say, Lord, this is what I know is a need, I want to pray for that need. And they shared a number of those things. And I said, now, anything else? And I saw that subtle thing where the wife turned to the husband, do I say it? And he went, so I said, what is it? She said, I don't know what. I said, go ahead. She said, our family doesn't have adequate clothes for the winter. I said, please explain. Because I'd already noticed this was September, and they were already wearing things around that we would wear in the winter, but this is their fall and spring things, because when it gets cold, it really is cold. And when you don't have central heat, you don't have cars, you bundle up even harder. She said, we just don't have it. And I said, I don't have it either, because even if I have the resources, I want to be careful that they don't see me as... Better put my watch out. What time are we at here? That's the car keys. That doesn't work. Other than I pushed the wrong button, it beeps. We're already noon? Oh, forgive me. This is not right. My Russian brothers have spoiled me because their services last 3 hours. Not that I preach for 3 hours, but it provides a lot of time. Let me speed on. So the long story short is she said, this is what we need. And she said, no, I don't need all that. And she began to share it. And I said to the other mothers, how about your families? So the bottom lines came, and when everybody added up their bottom line, it was $500. And I said, you won't believe this, but I explained it. I said, God touched the heart of a man in Canada to bring me a gift because I was ready to leave, and that gift will arrange and meet your immediate need right now. When we make choices, those choices have connections. And last, and I have to close, you need to remember those things that God has done and the choices we've made. Notice when Moses did this, it wasn't about, hey, I lifted up my hands, it's about what God did. And you and I need to remember that it's about what God does. Not that we've lifted up our hands, not that we've done this together, it's what God does. Because it is here, the Lord is my banner, the Lord is my strength, Jehovah Nissi in some versions it might have. And I want you to remember that what I share with you today isn't about Slavic Gospel Association. It isn't about some believers that went through some difficult times. It's about what God did for all of those groups as he brought them together and people decided whether they're here, wherever they are, that we will serve him and keep a focal point in our life. And the central part of that whole situation is individuals coming to trust Christ as Savior and Lord. And recognizing apart from him, there isn't the strength to handle anything. Apart from him, there is no forgiveness of sin. And it's only in his word that we come and realize that the primary choice is not only to serve him, as Moses, as Joshua said, choose you this day whom you'll serve, but I will serve the Lord, and I'll serve him with others who have made that similar commitment. So today, you didn't choose some of the situations, but what will you choose to do in the midst of that situation? Will you do it what God, the way God says? Will you recognize your choices have implications as far as in the lives of others? And last of all, we remember that when the victory is there, that it's God who's brought the victory. Let's pray. Father God, we bow before you today. It's you whom we have come to worship, you whom we have come to hear, and you whom we had acknowledged as our source of strength and salvation. We ask our Father that you would be with us, that we would not forget that you are the one who guides us by your word and challenges us not just to trust you as Savior, but as well to serve you as Lord and submit to you in the situations you have placed before us. We pray that what you do in our hearts would be used for your glory, that you would be the one who's lifted up. We ask these mercies in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.